The Old Testament reading for this 22nd Sunday after Pentecost is from Jeremiah chapter 31. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. Among them the blind and the lame, the pregnant woman and she who is in labor together, a great company, they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with pleas for mercy I will lead them back. I will make them walk by brooks of water, in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from Hebrews chapter 7. The former priests were many in number, because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently, because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. They came to Jericho, and as Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. They called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up. He is calling you. And the throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It isn't a word that we use all that much. Disciple. I'm assuming it's fallen out of usage because disciple has come to have this zealous overtone. One imagines a disciple as having slightly mad look in their eyes. Unless we are using it ironically as being a disciple of, say, Marie Kondo. If it does not spark joy, out it goes. You could also safely be a disciple of, say, John Bogle, the founder of Vanguard and the Index Fund. One can safely be a disciple of things proven by math, unless the math goes against power politics. Then you better deny the math. You are always safe being the disciple of whoever is in power. In the simple sense, disciple means follower. But then you get to what does it mean to follow. The ironic disciple might be a little like the crowds that followed Jesus. They appreciated some of his teachings. They loved the miracles and the effect of the ministry. But you've got to keep a little distance. My car doesn't spark joy, but I'm not throwing it out. The ones we call disciples from the Bible might be a little more like the boggleheads. It certainly made sense for Peter, James, and John to follow Jesus. They went from throwing nets into the sea to being in the first rank of a movement swelling across all of Galilee and Judea. At least until that movement was heading for Jerusalem. Discipleship is probably something that we should think more about or bring back into vogue. If only because Jesus' last words in his great commission to the church were to make disciples. Jesus helpfully expands on that a bit about what it means. It involves three other verbs, he says: go, baptize, and teach. The go is probably best taken as while you live your life. While you are going about your life, there's an intentionality to it. Make disciples. How you live testifies to what you believe. The more specific actions are the sacramental, baptism. The font is how we enter into being a disciple of Jesus. The font is the start. But the disciple is also one who learns, or the one who submits to the teaching of Jesus. Mark chapter 10 has a bunch of discipleship lessons, a bunch of hard ones. In recently past weeks, we've heard the teaching on marriage and divorce. The Pharisees and even the disciples themselves have trouble with this. We listen to it in regards to worldly wealth, the call to follow given to the rich young man didn't make mathematical sense to him. And he went away sorrowful. But Mark 10 doesn't end with those. Our lectionary skips over a bit, but in it you have the third passion prediction of Jesus. As they are walking their way to Jerusalem, Jesus tells his disciples and the crowds what will happen. And the response is James and John asking Jesus to do for us whatever we ask. Jesus asks them, what do they have in mind? They respond, give us the right and the left hand in your glory. Jesus tells them they don't know what they're asking. And then he goes into a discussion of baptism. It's pretty clear that even in the face of the passion prediction, James and John are viewing the glory to come as some type of worldly power. Jesus instructs them that among his disciples, among his followers, it won't be like the Gentiles. They, those Gentiles, lord it over each other. But it will not be so among the disciples of Jesus, who will be marked by weakness. Preaching of the cross is true. But if you don't see the promise of that cross, the cross is nothing attractive about it. And this entire chapter of the harder parts of discipleship, the hard teachings, is capped off with today's gospel lesson. They were on their way past Jericho. Now, Jericho is about 15 miles, say a solid day's walk, outside of Jerusalem. The journey is coming to its end. The movement is building to its crescendo. And the great crowd, those distant followers, are thronging about the rabbi. Is this one the Messiah? On his way to the Passover? And this parade, large enough to be heard before it actually comes to you, is approaching the begging spot of blind Bartimaeus. Like the beggars that stand begging at the stoplight of Marketplace Liquors. So you can imagine Bartimaeus asking some, what group is approaching? Is this a good group to beg from? Or is this a group that might give me the bum's rush? What kind of movement is passing by? Somebody tells him, it's Jesus of Nazareth. And remember, the fame of Jesus has spread everywhere. Everyone, even the blind beggar Bartimaeus, has heard of Jesus. The miracle worker is passing by. The good news is being proclaimed to the poor everywhere he goes, today, tomorrow, and then the Passion. And Bartimaeus has several responses to this news that teach us about discipleship. His first is persistence. He cries out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd rebukes him, shut up, beggar. Don't bother the rabbi. He isn't here for you. Let him pass. But Bartimaeus cries out all the more. The disciple wants to see Jesus. It isn't just some sentimental wish. If it was, the rebukes of the crowd will quickly turn you away. The seed that falls amid the thorns proves unfruitful. But Bartimaeus had that desperate desire of the disciple. This one can make me whole. The disciple, in whatever stage of blindness, knows this, that Jesus can make me whole. And the disciple is persistent in the petitioning of their Lord, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The second point of discipleship that Bartimaeus illustrates is its kairos, its appointed time nature. Luther would say that the gospel is like a storm. It comes and creates a terror, drenching the earth with renewal, and then it passes on. And who knows when or if it will rain again. Jesus is passing this way by once. And Bartimaeus knows it. And he's going to grab this moment. Maybe we have a besetting sin. Maybe there's someone we need to forgive. Maybe even reconcile. And our eyes are open to these things. They've been opened up to them, and we know that this is the time to do them. The press of the moment wants to sweep it away. You'll be surprised at how fast it never happens. Go back to sleep. Close your eyes. But this passing by today is the moment. Jesus of Nazareth is passing. Might not come again. Today's the day. Now is the hour to act on what you see. Bartimaeus is persistent in his petition, and he recognizes the moment, and Jesus does as he promises. Those who seek shall find. And he calls back to Bartimaeus, call him, come here. And Bartimaeus gets his audience with the miracle worker. He gets his audience with the king. Now, James and John had forced the moment. Give us what we want. But Bartimaeus is extended the king's grace. What do you want me to do for you? How often do we in prayer get our moment and we stammer and stutter and ask for something bland and amorphous? And it's because we've not done the necessary work of self-examination. We've not been in the Word. We've not remembered the Sabbath day and kept it holy. We've not discerned the body of Christ. We've not been watching. Because we've been sleeping. When the moment comes, we don't know what to ask of His grace. Or we are too blind. Like the Pharisees about divorce, or the rich young man, or James and John on the glory. We ask for something we don't really understand. But Bartimaeus knows what he needs. Rabbi, I want my sight. There are lots of things we can know if we've been watching. And we don't have the power to change ourselves. We admitted that we were powerless. But this one, this Jesus, has the power. Rabbi, I want my sight. Bartimaeus, the disciple, was prepared. And Jesus loves to answer prayer. And of course, he grants Bartimaeus' sight. If you're a disciple and you're persistent, and the time has come, and you have been watching so that you know what you need to ask, it'll happen. But this is something that is key. It isn't because of your work. Your persistence is not the cause. It's not your cleverness in recognizing the hour. Nor is it your skill at self-diagnosis. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. Bartimaeus doesn't have the best understanding of who Jesus is. He uses terms that other people use and Jesus shies away from. He is the son of David, but that's usually a royal term. The people who use it think Jesus is heading to Jerusalem to reestablish that long-dead kingdom. Bartimaeus calls him rabbi, teacher. And the people who use that term are usually the Pharisees or the people who want that ironic distance, who want to maintain some ability to say to Jesus, I don't like that teaching, so I'm not going to follow. To reject some of what Jesus has to say. But what Bartimaeus lacks in his conception of who Jesus is, he has the one needful thing. This one can cure me. The disciple has faith. And this is what Jesus is after, even more than correct theology. The theology can be learned by a disciple and be corrected by the teacher. But the journey begins with faith. The heart that sees that cross and the one on it and says, here is my salvation, clings to that cross. The disciple clings to Jesus. And unlike all of the other characters in Mark chapter 10, Even James and John, who were not at this moment going to undergo the baptism that Jesus was approaching. And unlike the rich young man who went away sorrowful, and unlike the Pharisees discontent with Jesus' answers, and unlike the crowds that would turn against him, Jesus tells Bartimaeus to go your way. And Bartimaeus' reaction was to follow Jesus on the way. Bartimaeus' way was the way of Jesus. Bart's way was the way to the cross. He didn't selfishly take these gifts of Jesus and go his own way, but he followed Jesus. His way was the way of Jesus, and that is the way of discipleship. Discipleship begins with our needs. We are lost and condemned creatures. It moves through recognition and faith and gratitude. Christ makes us see just as he made Bartimaeus. We can see our condition and we can come to know our Savior. And it ends in loyalty. Where this one goes, I go. His way. Even the way to the cross is my way. So yeah, discipleship can be radical. But the only way out is through. Amen.